Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word. And we kind of adjusted things around here today for Palm Sunday and have forgotten to put up the other light. So it'll just be a little dim tonight, but don't worry about it. This morning. So we welcome you. We're all the way in 1 Samuel. And today we get to see King Saul in his ministry or in his life as a king. And he gets out of order with God and he begins to make decisions he shouldn't make. But God in his mercy establishes his kingdom and his reign in the nation of Israel. Remember, we have timestamps in these programs, so you can go to the beginning of each chapter. And then if the Holy Spirit prompts me, and I stop and make a comment of some form of Bible study, I'll also put a timestamp number in for that. That's in blue numbers. It's in the notes and most times in the comments. And that's just our way of helping you study this together. Share this with your family and your friends and let them know about the majestic Word of God. He's the same God from Genesis, generations to revolution. He's the same God. And there are no inconsistencies in the Bible, and there's no contradictions in God's Word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Well, let's pray our opening prayer. 2 minutes. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. I will be rooted and grounded in love. Be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, I could tell somebody was saying, you know, Pastor, it's not very holy to pray that kind of prayer about yourself. Well, if you don't get yourself into the position where God wants you, how are you going to help anybody else? Can't help yourself unless you can't help somebody else unless you have first helped yourself.
Amen.
So that's what we're helping you do is help yourself. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And we're off. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel. it's just one of those translation verses that you're like, really then? Say something, Holy Spirit. Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land of Israel, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it, said that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines, and the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. Verse 5, then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 36,000 chariots. That's amazing. That's a whole flock of chariots right there. And 6,000 horsemen. and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. Some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Interesting how God just tells it like it is, doesn't he? Then he waited 7 days according to the time sent by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, let's pause at this point, 5:45. Samuel had said, I'll be there in 7 days. And that day, Saul was not supposed to be offering a sacrifice for himself. He needed the priest. Samuel was the priest in the day. So he didn't do right. Now watch this. Verse number 9. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10. Happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering, except that's not what the king was supposed to do. So don't do that. 13, Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. Interesting statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with him about 600 men. Now 16. Saul, Jonathan his son, and the people present with them remained in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Michmash. Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophrah, to the hand of Shual, to the land of Shual. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. All the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his mattock, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a pim. I don't remember that. It's all right. For the plowshare, the mattock, the fork, and the axes to set the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the pass of Michmash. Now, 9:35. That meant that if Saul and Jonathan didn't go fight and kill a Philistine, the armor bearer didn't have a sword. So every time they killed one and got a sword, now you got another sword. But see, that's what God said. I'll turn you over to these other nations. Why? Because you refuse to follow my word. I'm going to tell you. The church has failed us. Excuse me. Let's see. The religious leaders have failed us because the church won't fail. That's Jesus. The religious leaders of our day have failed us by teaching us to be religious, go to church, make sure you don't miss Sunday or Wednesday. And they didn't teach us to have a relationship to hear the voice of God. Because why did Saul do this? Because he was the king. I'm in a position. I got to move. Well, except that your position is designed by God. So don't move without God
Amen.
Saying it. And in the New Testament, you and I got to get this down, because in order to be like Jesus, we got to do what we see the Father do, and we got to hear and say what we hear the Father say. And then don't freak out when you don't. Just learn it. Chapter 14. Happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison that's on the other side." But he did not tell his father. And Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. Wouldn't you like to sit under a pomegranate tree? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Verse 3. Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the others, Sine. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised." Look at this statement. "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or few." He didn't even know God was with him. He just said, "I'm sick of sitting here doing nothing." So his armor bearer, verse 7, said to him, "Do all that's in your heart, sir. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men. We will show ourselves to them." Watch this. This is the boldness of God. "If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and that will be a sign to us." It's like the lepers. Why do we sit here till we die?
Right.
Verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the Gerasene Philistines. Hey, guys. And the Philistines said, "Look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have hidden." The men of the Gerasene called to Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, "Come up to us. We'll show you something." Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." Isn't it something that guy said exactly what Jonathan said to God? "If they say this, you've delivered them into our hand." Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after them, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. Remember, there's only one sword. Jonathan had to kill somebody for that armor bearer to get a sword. These are some brave boys right here. Yeah, I'm sick of sitting. Verse 15. There was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The Gerasene and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away, and they went here and there. Saul said to the people who were with him, Now call the roll and see who has gone from us. And when they called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God here. For at the time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled, and they went to battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. Moreover, the Hebrews also were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them in the camp from all the surrounding country. They also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. Verse 24. When the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats only food until evening, who eats any food, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies. So none of the people tasted food. All of the people of the land came to a forest, and there was honey on the ground.
Wow.
And when the people had come into the woods, there was the honey dripping. But no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore, he stretched out the end of his rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his countenance brightened. Well, of course so. Then one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. But Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. Look now, how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For now, would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? Now they had driven back the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon. So the people were very faint. You can only imagine how hard it is to fight in a battle and to fight that battle all day long.
Yeah.
Verse 32, and the people rushed on the spoil, took sheep, oxen, calves, and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Now, they ain't supposed to be doing that either.
Right.
Okay. 33, then they told Saul, saying, look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. So he said, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day. And he's the one that made the offering before the man of God got there. Then Saul said, disperse yourself among the people and say to them, bring me here every man's ox and every man's sheep. Slaughter them here and eat, and do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood. So every one of the people brought his ox with him that night and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. This was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night, plunder them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatever seems good to you. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. Saul asked the counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he did not answer him that day. Notice that he is capitalized, letting you know that was God. And Saul said, come over here, all you chiefs of the people, and know and see what this sin was today. For as the Lord lives who saves Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. Not a man among all the people answered him. He said to all Israel, you be on one side, and my son Jonathan and I will be on another. And the people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. Therefore Saul said to the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. So Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. And Jonathan told him and said, I only taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. So now I must die? Saul answered, God do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. But the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Verse 47. So Saul established his sovereignty over Israel, fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the people of Ammon, against Edom, against the kings of Zobah, against the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he harassed them. And he gathered an army and attacked the Amalekites and delivered Israel from the hands of those who plundered them. The sons of Saul were Jonathan, Jeshui, and Malchishua. Why do I not remember that name? And the names of his two daughters were there. The name of the first was Merab, and the name of the younger, Michal. Remember Michal, that's an important name. The name of Saul's wife was Ahinoam, the daughter of Ahimaaz. And the name of the commander of his army was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner, the father of Abner, was the son of Abiah. Now there was fierce war with the Philistines all the days of Saul. And when Saul saw any strong man, or any valiant man, he took him for himself. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, in our day, it's much different than in Saul's day. When you made a rash oath then, you lived your rash oath out, even if you killed yourself doing it. And in our day, Jesus says, repent of your sin, turn quickly, admit you're wrong. And then 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even today, even in this day that we live, if you find yourself doing wrong, just stop and say, Lord, I receive all of your righteousness. Fixing this thing that's going on in my life. There's some things in your life that may not even be a sin to others, but God tells you it's a sin. I'm not going to do that. The idea is this, walk with God.
Amen.
You don't have to know my weakness or struggle, and I don't have to know yours. I'm here to help you if you have one, and we'll never leave you. We will never leave you. We will never condemn you. We will help you walk with God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, every time we're here, we pray the prayer of salvation because we never know who might be with us that's never been born again. Being born again is what brings your spirit man back to life, connects you one-on-one with the Father, and makes you have the access to the throne room of God and be able to find God. Pray the prayer of salvation with us now. Everybody pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in
you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are
the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day for me.
and you rose again on the third day for
me. Put your hands out as an action and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now, Lord.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Filling every part of me.
Filling every part of me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life.
And live a successful
as a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, you might say, Pastor, something's going on inside me. It is, because it's going on inside me, right? When I pray that prayer every day, I experience the same thing you are. Why? Because you are opening your heart and saying, Jesus, come in. And the more you say, come in, the more of your life he fills. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here's what happened. Jesus is the light of the world. He just filled with light. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. He just filled you with his faith. Jesus just came into you with all of his righteousness, because your righteousness and mine will never make it. My righteousness will never make it. But Jesus' righteousness makes it all the way.
Amen.
Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness. You and I believe God and we receive all of Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
Father looked at Jesus just now and said, adopt them into the family. And according to Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 17, you're now heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. Now, my email is hgpreacherman@gmail.com. It's in the comments. It's in the notes, I mean. It's in the notes of Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. My address, P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. It's in the notes. Our website's there. I encourage you to receive communion every day. We received communion yesterday morning, Sunday morning, here on the program. We'll do it every Sunday morning. And every night on our Establishing Your Faith program, we received the program. And I encourage you to come and be with us. It's an interactive Bible study where you can ask questions. And it's been running now for 2 years. It's a powerful event. And it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. We've got a video on it already recorded. And we can help you find it in Jesus' mighty name. Well, let me know. Send me an email and say, Pastor, I'm listening to you in this nation because I want to know. And welcome you myself. Got a question? Ask it. Honestly. Want to tell me a story? Send it to me. We'd love to hear your stories in Jesus' mighty name. And until we see you again tomorrow morning, same time, same station, same internet connection. Well, YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. And we'll be here with you. Remember this, we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you tomorrow.